In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As we just heard the passage that we are all familiar with today from the Gospel of St. Luke, speaking about Zacchaeus, and as we, Abuna Hedra said last week, that the whole month of Tut is about repentance. It's the beginning of the Coptic year, and the Church is encouraging us that we turn to God. So today, giving us the example of Zacchaeus, as a role model for repentance, what is repentance is all about. This man who made himself a spectacle for the people when he went over the sycamore tree, and he did not find difficulty giving up all what he has in order for him to acquire the Lord Christ, not only in his house, but also in his heart. But actually today our focus will not be on Zacchaeus. We will focus on the people who were witnessing the Lord Christ going to Zacchaeus. And the reaction was this statement: he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. If we wonder what is judging others is all about, this statement says it all. Knowing that Zacchaeus was doing something wrong is something natural. Definitely, people have the right to say collecting money in an unfair way is not right. And this is how we should teach our children and let them know that this is something they should not follow, shall not imitate. But here in this statement, there are two elements of judging. The first element is labeling someone. He's a sinner, giving him a title. And this title is not going to change. He's a sinner, then that's it. And the second thing is about judging others is to declare their worthiness. He is not worthy to receive the Lord Christ in his house. So this is what going to be our focus today. We'll talk about different people, same comment, the Lord's reaction to this statement, and what is wrong with that? What is wrong with what they said? So the first point is about different people, same comment. It's a very common mistake that many people find it easy, even unintentional, sometimes don't think about it, when they declare that this person is a sinner and he is not worthy of certain honor or a reward. We hear the same comment also by the people who witnessed the Lord going into the house of Saint Matthew, the Levite. We hear this in Mark chapter 2. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" The same, labeling those people, they are sinners. And accordingly, they are not worthy to sit on the table of the Lord and eat with him. Always remember these two elements in judging others, giving them a label and then judging their worthiness. In another occasion, we see the same also from Simon the Pharisee, who had a banquet and he invited the Lord Christ to his home. And then we know the story mentioned in Luke chapter 7 about the woman who was a sinner in the city, who came and she fell on the feet of the Lord Christ, and she wept and washed his feet with her tears, and she offered the true repentance. We hear this about Simeon. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. She is not worthy to touch his feet. And accordingly, if this man allows her this kind of being close to him, then he is not a prophet himself." This looks like when someone comes to communion and we look at him and we judge this person. He is a sinner. He should not partake of this. Or a person who is serving as a deacon or as a priest or as a bishop, and we look at this person and say, "This man did this and this. He is a sinner. He should not be in this capacity on this service." It is the same kind of statement that declares the hardness of man, not seeing that the people are in need, but seeing their worthiness and judging that they should not be taking or partaking of this kind of honor. In another occasion, we see also the people who got the woman, caught her, she was taken while committing adultery. They brought her to the Lord and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" So they pass the judgment, she's an adulterous woman, and accordingly she should be stoned. When they asked him, they were not asking to see what he thinks truly, but to find a fault with him, saying she should be stoned, then what did you bring more than Moses? Saying she should not, then you are violating the law. So here again, the same hardness, the same heart, people seeing others in their sin and giving them a label and declaring what they should receive or should not receive. Let us look at how the Lord Christ reacted to all of these circumstances. He was involved in all of them. People criticized him for being kind and showing mercy. We find him in response to the statement about Zacchaeus, he is a sinner, he should not receive Christ in his house, that he gives him another title and declares something that's for all of us to learn from. He also is a son of Abraham. Yes, he is a sinner, but he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You say that he is a sinner, I say he is a son of Abraham. He say he should not receive me, and I tell you, I came to this particular person. I came to save those people. Those people that we think should not be partaking of any kind of like communion, be in fellowship with the church, are those people in particular that the Lord came to serve. He defended Zacchaeus before everyone, giving him a new title and saying that I came to this man. Also, when the people criticized him that he is eating with sinners at the house of Matthew, the tax collector, he declares, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When you see people who are around you in the church who are sick with their illness and their sin, remember that the Lord Christ came to those people. They are here because they are in the right place, because this is a hospital. When you see, can't go to the hospital, what do you expect to see? You just see ill people around you. So here in this kind of like church, all of us, including the priests and the deacons, they are all sick people coming to seek the true physician, this is the Lord the Christ. No one can say that I am here as a doctor myself, I am a physician. In response to Simeon the Pharisee, who judged the woman and the Lord the Christ, when she came, approached him, touched his feet, he told him, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. You focused on her sins. I focused on her love. And this is again another thing that people do not pay attention to. No one watched or knew about Zacchaeus, but they knew him as a tax collector. And that's it. That's enough for them to judge him. He justified the sinful woman, gave her honor before Simeon the Pharisee who judged her. In response to the people who seized the adulterous woman and asked, what should we do? She should be stoned. Then we know his famous response. When they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. He did not say she is not adulterous. He did not say that the law of Moses is wrong. But he asked them, are you the ones who should execute the judgment? This is something up to me. I made the law and I execute judgment. No one else should give himself this right. If you are without sin, start throwing a stone at a woman. This is how we should also be mindful of ourselves and others. Only God judge other people. In another occasion, this is maybe something that people did not say it in out loud, but maybe they spoke about it in their hearts or with each other, keeping Judas as a disciple. We know that Judas is a traitor. We knew this after the end of the story, but the disciples knew that he's a thief and he is the treasurer. So they knew that this man who is occupying this kind of capacity and job and ministry, he is not doing it right. On the contrary, he is betraying the trust by stealing the money that he should collect for the need of the poor. The Lord the Christ kept him not only just like as a helper, but as a disciple. He gave him all the honor, all the chances, the opportunities to the last minute, until Judas himself, he gave up on himself. But again, this gives us a lesson. Who appointed him? The Lord the Christ. Who can take him away? The Lord the Christ. And he did not. He kept him serving, giving him all the love. Maybe he is going to repent. Giving him the service as a tool to bring him to his sense, to his mind. Unfortunately, it didn't work, but it's not because the Lord rejected him, because he did not make use of the opportunity. We come to the last point. What is wrong with that? This kind of passing judgments day and night and to people around us. Number one, assuming God's place without knowing the person's heart is definitely a mistake. This is wrong. You don't know the suffering of this person, his background, where he comes or she comes from, what is going on in his mind or his heart, how many times he or she tried to repent, how many times they are struggling with their sin. None of this is known. So taking God's position without knowing all of these things definitely make us at fault. I may give you an example so you can understand what does it mean to put in consideration the background of a person. If we look at a person who is like Zacchaeus, and we give him maybe give him a grade from 0 to 10, 10 being very good in terms of morality and spirituality, and 0 being like the least, nothing. Maybe we'll give him or another person like him 0 or 1. But we have to keep in mind how this person started. We all start with a background. This background is our families, our churches that we were raised in, the culture we lived in when we were children, the schools we attended, the people who dealt with us, if any kind of kindness or abuse, all of these are factors from the past. We have no control on them. If we give each one of these factors 1 point, if a person starts with -5, he had none, a broken family, church that didn't exist, maybe no one cared, culture that was abusive, and this person starts with -5. And then we add to this -5 this person's effort to do something different, to be a good person, and he's trying his very best to keep maybe his senses and his mouth and being a decent person. And he makes an effort and comes with 5 points. At the end of the day, when we count both his background with -5 and his effort, which is, we give it like 5, then he equals what at the end? 0. We look at him in his final product, as final product, and say this is a 0 person. Imagine another person who had a good family, had a good church to serve this person, good culture that respect others, good schools, everything went okay. He has 5 points in his background. He starts with +5. And then his effort, he contributes another point. This could be enough. So at the end of the day, how much this person is valued? He will be what? He will be 6. We look at this person who is 6 points on this scale, and we compare him to the person who is 0 and say, this is a better person than this. Why we say this? Because we have no idea, no clue whatsoever with the background or how this person started or his suffering or struggle. Definitely you can see how unfair this kind of judgment when we look at a final product, not knowing how this person started, what is he going or through, and we say, this person is good, this person is bad. Also, even among the cruelest armies, the soldiers do not kill their wounded. They carry them on their shoulders. How it would be something right for us, the members of one body, the soldiers of Christ, that we kill the wounded among us? By saying the wounded, I mean those who are wounded with their sin, of course. I remember during the military service back in Egypt that we had, our unit was divided into 10 groups, and each group has around 100 soldiers. And then we have a day, they call it the marching grace. So at that day we should walk something like maybe 10 miles and we have to come there in the fastest time. But not only time was a factor. The other factor was how many people of this unit or this group will get there. Meaning if you get there with 100, the same people, then you score higher than people who comes earlier but with less number, 80 and 20 could not make it. I remember the chief of this unit, the captain or the soldier, the person in charge, the officer, said that, okay, let me make it known for you. We will start 100 and we will cross the finish line 100. If anyone falls among you, you carry him. If 50 people will fall, 50 will carry them. We are going to reach there 100. And this is what I care about it the most. This man, even, of course, the principle here is because of make us feel as one. If this happens among the army, the soldiers, who are by their career, learn how to be harsh. They do not kill the wounded. How can we do this? We kill the wounded among us, despise them, or think that they are not worthy of anything. Also, if the Lord Christ was sent to serve sinners and bring them back to his knowledge, we are also sent in his image. He said to us this, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He was sent to those who are in need, who are sinners, to bring them to his knowledge. Then if we are sent in his image to do his mission, how can we do something else? And we start separating people and say, those people should not be here, those people should be there. This is not his ministry. This is not what he taught us. This example of him is what we should be mindful with and imitate at all times. Another factor why this is wrong is that if I can see my brother's illness while he cannot see mine, this does not make me better than him. What do I mean by this? If my brother has a skin disease, I can spot it, I can see it. He has this kind of whatever, urticaria. And I have a heart disease. He doesn't see mine, but I see his. This does not make me better than him. It just makes my sin or my illness concealed. That's it. We are all here come as like God covers all of us. Some of us have their sins manifest, are known, can be visible. These kind of sins or these kinds of weaknesses should not make the people who have them worse than others. Have also to remember this. This person might be not a decent person. He speaks profanity, and I can see that. But what about my lustful heart that nobody sees? What about this kind of hatred in my heart that nobody will recognize? If no one would know, I should know. And that's why we should refrain from judging others when we see their illness and their weaknesses. The last point, why this is wrong. Actually, it is the spirit of judgment that brings us to condemnation and loss of God's mercy. Sin has a solution, but judgment doesn't have one. Look here at this verse in James chapter 5. When he says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. He did not say, do not sin. Yes, we know it, but we all do. But it is judging others that brings us into condemnation. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. When the Lord Christ entered the house of Simon the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee did not show him any kind of hospitality. He did not care about him coming. He did not wash his feet, kiss him. This is what should be done to any guest. The Lord did not bring Simeon's shortcoming to light until Simeon came and said, "This is a woman. This woman is a sinner. She should not touch this man's feet." So actually understand from this story, it is when Simeon started to judge the woman, then Christ started to settle account with him. Okay, now if you want to be a judge, let us go all the way and see who is truly at fault. And also, we learned the same from the parable of the unforgiving servant. When the king wanted to settle an account with this servant, he owed him, the servant owed the king 10,000 talents, around 3 million pounds. When the man said, I cannot pay, then forgiveness was granted to him. Okay, you cannot, I'll forgive you. Until this man went out and he started to take his fellow servant and asking him, you owe me 3 denarii, give me my money back. And he did not allow him to be excused. Then the king went back and said, okay, if you want to do it this way, come back and let us start the whole process again. We always pray in the liturgy and say, according to your mercy, O Lord, and not according to our sins. God will grant us this mercy in return of how much mercy we give to others. And I always tell this to myself, whenever I'm going to stand before God, what am I going to say about all of my mistakes and sins? I have no excuse, but I will say the same statement, according to your mercy, O Lord, not according to our sins. And I remind myself that God at that time will ask me, how much mercy did you allow others? How much forgiveness did you grant them? So it is the spirit of judgment that truly brings us to condemnation. Be careful, my brethren, when we see other people's mistakes around us. Today, we see how Zacchaeus received the Lord in his house, received forgiveness, and gave him an honor. And then this man had a new start, while those people who stood at the door outside grumbling against Zacchaeus and against the Lord did not receive anything. And I wonder if they repented this kind of sin or not. It's a lesson for us today to know that part of our repentance to start again with God is to refrain from judging others. Put this kind of vice aside, be mindful of my own weakness, struggle for the purity of my own heart, asking forgiveness for all the people around me. May the Lord to grant us this spirit of forgiveness. To him is the glory forever and ever.